Any Slavic people here? Dobro jutro? Jak se mas? Dobře? Sisko pozusko. Oh, dobře is as far as you go, right? Well, good morning, everyone. I might be starting a little bit early because I have a funny feeling that our brother Dalton Windsor here might like to squeeze more things into the limited time that's allotted to him. And we sure appreciate him and his wife. I was just talking to him briefly as far as VCY. He is the voice of VCY.
One of them.
I think years ago it was what, Gordon Morris? Mm-hmm. And he's heard in over 60 stations already. And I appreciate all the work that him and his wife do because it is a ministry. And he's got the right kind of voice. I'm surprised the major networks haven't knocked on his door and asked if he'd like to do, you know what I mean for the, but he's better off where he's at because what he's doing will last for all eternity. Mm-hmm. So with further ado, brother.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a blessing to be back with you, each one of you. We've tried to get over and say hello, I think, to everyone, and certainly appreciate your prayers. And some of you have already asked me about Tracy, and see you still have us on your prayer list, and we certainly appreciate that. But dealing with the kidney function prayer request there, and I can happily report that we were at Mayo Clinic last Monday and had our latest checkup there, and kidney function numbers were actually up 3 points. Versus where it was last time when we were down 3 points. So, and the doctor looked at that and kind of went, And we said, praise the Lord. So we're thankful and we just know, just like you, that each and every day it's God that wakes us up. It's God that gives us the air that we breathe and the grace that we need for pressing on for another day. So, but it is a privilege to be here. I always appreciate Brother Wooden and Sister Maureen and the work they do here, and then the opportunity to get to come and share some time in God's Word with you is always a blessing. So you're all looking great since I saw you last time. So keep on keeping on as whatever it is that you're doing. And kids are growing up, and it's nice to see, truly nice to see. So I have, looks like, a prayer request list that's pretty recent. If anyone wants to add anything or update from maybe the last one that I have that's stated October the 8th here, just for obviously daily strength, for different ones that are mentioned here, any updates on your prayer list that we should mention today? Anything that anyone knows about or updates? Or Mark, how's Jenny doing? Okay.
But I know that right now she's in between time. She's got to have a month between her last treatment and surgery. And I think that's 3 weeks away. Two plus. And so I'm sure she's having struggles. And pray for her to have peace with this. It's not good for anybody to go through it, but especially or a child, but also please pray an unspoken for my wife and I.
Amen. Can do. Back up a moment to Jenny's surgery you mentioned. In a few weeks?
I'm thinking we're 2+ weeks.
Okay. Okay.
She's bombarded with phone calls, and I'm going through all this. You're extremely sick, trying to tend to herself, her daughter, husband, and so she left it at, I'll call you when I can talk, or a moment.
Okay.
So
Okay.
That's just kind of how we left it.
All right. Anything else on your list that we should mention or update?
Praises to the Lord for newborn Gideon.
Okay. Amen.
Tyler and Lindsay and Titus, not here.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday,
okay. All right. So they probably won't be here today. Unless they bring the new baby. Wow, wonderful. I remember Titus being born.
Yeah.
When that baby was born. So, wow. Yeah. Oh, that'd be all right with us. All right.
Also, please pray for Israel.
Yes.
As you know, things are really hot over there.
Yes. First time in 50 years that Israel has declared war.
Yep.
That's
only the second time too, I think.
That's a pretty big declaration for them to be pushed that far and have to do what they're doing. And they have every right to do that. We'll talk a little bit about that today, God willing. But amen to praying for Israel. First and foremost, for their salvation. What would it be for them to benefit nationally if they're not benefiting spiritually and in eternal things? And so we must pray for their salvation first and foremost. And that day will come. That day will come when not every person, but when they receive Christ. And we'll talk about that today too, God willing. So, well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into His Word this morning. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. You've made it that we can do that through Him. We can come to You to be in Your presence. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. We thank You that we can call on You morning, noon, or at night time. That we can, with this joy and peace, cast all of our care upon You. Because You've shown us how much You care for us. It's great to be gathered with the saints here again in New Berlin this morning, Lord, with the church here. We know the church around the world is gathering today. Some possibly underground, but they're gathering. Some in other countries gathering. It's Your day. You rose Jesus from the tomb. On this, the Lord's Day, and we remember that with each new Sunday and with each every day You give us. We are thankful, Lord. We come to You with thanksgiving. We give praise unto You. As I've already mentioned, Lord, I thank You again on a personal level for, yes, the report that Tracy and I received this week on kidney function and just what You're doing, Lord, as the Master Physician in our lives and in the lives of all Your people. We hear the world's report, but we always like to hear Yours and know Yours and see You at work in our lives. In the good times, yes, it's wonderful to praise You. It sometimes seems harder to in the struggle times and the harder times, but Lord, it's then it matters all the most. You're there for us even in those times, and we praise You for that. We praise You for the new baby that's been born this week, little Gideon, a brother to Titus, a blessing to the family and a blessing to the church body here. We thank You. We praise You. We rejoice for the new little one added to this body of believers. I pray, Lord, even now over him and Gideon's salvation, Lord, that he too will be trained up, raised up in the training and admonition of Your Word by His loving family. And of course, that includes this church. God bless little Gideon and the family. Lord, we pray for Jenny this morning. And You know every fiber of her being, and you know what the doctors are preparing to do, Lord. And we just lift her up to you today, that your will would be done in her life, that she would just trust you, Lord, look to you for all things physical and, of course, all things spiritual in her life. And, of course, comfort the hearts of those who love her the most, for Brother Mark and Allie and the entire family, Lord. And then, Lord, for the unspoken prayer request, Lord, you know there's more than one here today. You know there's more than one. And we thank you for hearing us when we pray and knowing us even when sometimes the words are so few or hardly at all. Lord, I want to give you thanks for Pastor Wooden and his wife, and that you just give them a time of refreshment wherever that may be today, if they're close to home or far from home, wherever they are, Lord. We just thank you for them. We want to be an encouragement to them, and a thank you for their service here and their continued time, Lord, to serve you in whatever capacity, the capacity here and all of the different ministries that they touch through local church function, through missionary work, Lord, that goes around the world. We just ask your richest blessing to continue upon them. Lord, over our service time today, as we would open your word, that it would just speak to us as it always does, as you intend it to do, Lord, and that we would not just be hearers but doers of your word, and help me in that as well. And Lord, as the saints would gather for not only now but the next hour when we come together, Lord, just prepare our hearts to receive your word. And may we, as always, leave here better than we came, having been in your presence, and then, of course, leaving in your presence as well. We love you, Lord. Thank you. The church says, amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. And Pastor told me, when we were looking at what the dates were when I'd get to come and share, and he said, well, we're in Daniel. And I went, really? I said, that's wonderful, because my son and I have been studying that every Sunday afternoon. Our son Brady, our middle son there, we have oldest son Drew, and then Brady and Isabella, our daughter. Two sons in college now. Boy, Tracy, we're getting up there, aren't we? But Brady is a freshman at Maranatha Baptist in Watertown, and he comes home on the weekend. We love that. And we've been studying Daniel Sunday afternoons before he leaves home. And when Pastor said that's where you guys were, I said, this is great, because we're already there with you in this great book of Daniel. I don't know if I would have near the help and understanding that I've received from God's Word were it not for so many of the truths that are in the book of Daniel. Now, there's 66 blessings that we know as the Bible. There's 66 wonderful books, but each one adding something different. And so Daniel, something that I first studied many years ago when we were working with young people, and we did a study called Dare to Be a Daniel. And it was a great challenge for the Christian believer of today to dare to be a Daniel in our New Testament age that we're in today. And so today we'll look at Daniel chapter 4, because I believe that's right about where you are. And you may have an actual notes, or are you keeping a book on Daniel? I don't know. Yeah, you've got one. You've got one. So I think this week is something of the mad monarch, right? A monarch being a head of state. Someone with kingly authority, and we all know we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar here. And he is known as a madman, the madman monarch that he was. But what a wonderful thing, if you know the story, what a wonderful thing God did in even Nebuchadnezzar's life. Who knows what God did in Nebuchadnezzar's life? You know? What did he do in his life?
Well, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer.
Amen. What a glorious triumph that he came to call upon the God of heaven, that he recognized his need for the true living God. You're like, the madman monarch, Nebuchadnezzar, became a believer? Yeah, that's true. Don't mean to cut right to the best part of the story, but if you know, you know, as they say. But in just as a brief overview, in Daniel chapter 1, there is Daniel and his companions, the chapter that talks about all of the heathen customs that Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? The heathen customs that they were being pressed upon them. Chapter 2 was the heathen philosophy of the day. And in chapter 2, you've been studying, you remember that it was there that Nebuchadnezzar was given a first dream. Chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, another well-known story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what happened to them? Thrown into the fiery furnace. And we know that wonderful story. And what happened? They would not bow down to that 90-foot tall image that Nebuchadnezzar constructed, right? They wouldn't bow down to that. Hence the meaning of a teaching called Dare to Be a Daniel. That even in our time today, we should dare to be that brave soldier for Christ. Though they slay me, we would not bow down to the God, small g, of this world. And so we just continue to see God's people here receiving victory, because if you remember much about chapter 3 in your studies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out with even not the smell of smoke on their clothes. Pretty amazing. What's amazing? That they couldn't smell smoke on them? No. Oh, I think there's a new baby coming in. Sorry, I'm chasing a squirrel moment. I think there's a baby maybe coming, or maybe just dad. I don't know. We'll see. In any event, we always see God's people triumphing here in their faith. And we know that Daniel was a POW his entire life. But he remained true to God. I encourage you, if you're just kind of getting in on some of this study with Daniel, get deeper into it. It is wonderful. I learn something every time I get into the study of Daniel. There's always more. There's just any of the books, obviously, but what a wonderful help that the book of Daniel is for us today. Let's see how far God would take us today. We know that Nebuchadnezzar had a first dream that Daniel would interpret. We now see Nebuchadnezzar having a second dream in chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Is this really Nebuchadnezzar talking here? Is this really? He's talking peaceful things in verse 1. He's talking about the God of wonders. And the things that he'd been able to do. He says in verse 3, how great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest. Verse 4 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers. He was calling in the best. the Chaldean, the soothsayer. I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, small g, that was a heathen name for Daniel, Belshazzar, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He's saying that in Daniel was the spirit of the holy gods that Nebuchadnezzar was proudly going to at least acknowledge that they existed. And Nebuchadnezzar says, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubles thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, shade, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. What a tree! Huh? A tree as tall as heaven, providing all of this good to the world. Verse 13, and I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree, cut down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the birds, the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump. Everybody say, leave the stump. Leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. Let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and it giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, Daniel, declare this interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but you are, thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble you. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. See, Daniel immediately knew what this meant. And he knew that it wasn't for the betterment in the short term of Nebuchadnezzar. But God had a long-term view for Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you have been through things 10, 20, 30 years ago that at the time you thought was going to kill you? You went through some things, some horrible things. God saw you through some things, but you did not know that you would see the dawn of the next day. But here we are, 5, 10, 20, 30 years later, we're still here. God's still working in our lives. And are we not thankful that when we only can just see the here and the now and our pending doom, God saw even those valley experiences in our life as something good that would what? That would grow us and would draw us closer to Him. And so, in the short term, this was not good news for Nebuchadnezzar. But knowing the end of the story, as we've already hinted to here today, we know that God was going to use this. Verse 20, Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar, "The tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, the height which reached into heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof was much, and in it was meat for everyone, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the birds of the heaven had their habitation. It is you, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and even reached unto heaven, and your dominion or your control to the end of the earth. You are this tree that you saw in your vision, Nebuchadnezzar. You are what you've seen. And whereas the king," 23, verse 23, "and whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, 'Cut down the tree, destroy it, yet leave the stump. Leave the stump of the roots in the earth.'" Oh, thank God for a foundation. As a born-again Christian, that our foundation is in Christ. Amen? Amen? Thank God for the firm foundation that we have. God left a stump. He left a root there of what was. This was what would be left of Nebuchadnezzar at that time. And this watcher said, "Leave the stump. Leave it there in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew. Let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times or 7 years passes by." Okay? Depending on what translation you're looking at there, the King James says, till 7 times pass over. We're talking a time of 7 years. "This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the King." Daniel would say this. He would say this in honor and respect of who Nebuchadnezzar was, saying as unto his Lord the King, small k. Verse 25, "that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know, till thou know, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." We're gonna come back to some of these verses here. I want to continue just so we can get through this. I would like to get through this chapter, but that. That verse we just finished there holds the key that we want to pull out of this this chapter. Verse 26, "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." And we would say that God of heaven rules. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off the sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." He's saying, it's time for you to repent, Nebuchadnezzar. It's time for you to call upon the God of heaven. It's time for you to do works of righteousness, showing mercy to the poor, to break off the sins by righteousness that can only come from God. "If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Verse 28, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar." All of it. "At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty?'" Okay, so Let's back up a moment. Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Thanks, Daniel. 12 months goes by. And it's time that he walks in. The king walks in here. And he's going to congratulate himself. Oh, this sounds like a born-again believer. No. But verse 30 says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Oh, pride is a terrible thing. Am I the only one that struggled with pride in life? No one else is saying a word. Pride is a terrible thing, and God hates it. We can read in Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate, a proud look. You know those verses? And it was pride here that was coming out of Nebuchadnezzar. And oh yeah, it was getting ready to come out. But not until he was finished congratulating himself. Verse 31, while the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men. This sounds familiar. Didn't Daniel just mention this to him a year ago? And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. That same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass like a cow. I'm paraphrasing that. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. I remember my kids one time, they were little and they brought home a coloring from their Sunday school class and they'd colored Nebuchadnezzar and it was this portion of the story and it was an awful coloring really. And I was like, what is this? But it was a depiction of what Nebuchadnezzar had been broken down to. In our lives today, when pride and the sin of life is allowed to take over, it brings us to a lowest point. We may not know it at the time, we may not see it, but it's a terrible place to be. But praise God for His grace that even though our sin doth so easily beset us, Christ cleanses us from every sin. We are the blessed New Testament believers. We're the church. We understand. He's called us unto Himself. We know that if we confess our sins, He's still faithful and He's still just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. To cleanse us. Amen? From all unrighteousness. But this is a terrible picture here of what Nebuchadnezzar had come to. At the end of the day, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. What we kind of will very easily look over is that not only his physical condition, but also Nebuchadnezzar's mental state. Those that have studied and are much, much smarter than me have explained that he would have been going through what we would call today a great mental illness in the form of hysteria. You know, that his moods could not be controlled. And if he's eating grass like a cow, I would say the guy's got some problems. But I mean, this is what he had come to. He'd lost his mind. And he was small K king. He was Nebuchadnezzar, ruling over all that he had. But yet he lacked the most important thing that we all need. But now, He went through this storm at the end of days. I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He said, I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? What are you doing? None can say that to Him. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. He's getting his mental abilities back. He's getting his mental faculties back. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Remember, leave the stump. Remember, leave the stump. God left that stump because He wasn't done with Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to restore him back to kingship. But Nebuchadnezzar would never be the same. Was Nebuchadnezzar perfect at this time? No, but Nebuchadnezzar was recognizing that he was not God, and that there is a God in heaven who rules in the affairs of men down here. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King, capital K, the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgments, and those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. Those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. He will bring them down. Remember the old saying, be sure your sin will find you out. And God restored Nebuchadnezzar with a new heart. A heart for the things that God loves. Again, not perfect, nor is this speaker today perfect, but my Savior is. And His plan for us is. And let's look back at verse 17 in chapter 4, because there's three things that let's take away here. Because we don't really give, I don't hear a lot of messages on Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, when we do hear about Nebuchadnezzar, it's often through the book of Daniel. Mostly that's where we always are hearing about him, but most commonly attributed to Daniel's telling the dream, and then all of the stories that we know through this entire book. But there's three things that we can take away from this chapter alone. In verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. God rules. Period. Or exclamation point. God rules. Amen? Amen? You may think you're in charge of your life, but you're not. We may think we're in charge of our country through our political parties and the things that we do, and we do have a responsibility in those things, but God is in charge. And I'm so glad, because I would mess it up. First thing to know is the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And what's the next thing say? Number two, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. Now we can read in Romans, it's a very, very famous, well-known chapter in Romans chapter 13, about how God work has, there are the powers that men have that are ordained of God, the powers, the laws that we live by under man here. If you drove here this morning and you were driving the speed limit, you were living and operating under the powers, under the rules of the city and state government because you were going the speed limit. Shame on you if you weren't. I'm just picking on you a little bit. But the point being, there are powers, there are orders that have been ordained. That authority ultimately comes from God. He has given that, then He's given it down to whomsoever He will to exercise that, to see that being propagated here among men. So God rules, but then the second thing is He gives power to whoever He will, however He chooses to do it. We have a form of government, not a perfect form of government, but we have a government with of laws and ordinances that we all know and live by that most would agree are good. It's a good thing when we go the speed limit. What happens if you don't? Well, you may get a policeman's autograph. Or you may be going so fast you drive off of a cliff or something and you shouldn't have been going so fast. So there's good in these things. And I just use those very simple illustrations to help prove a greater point. The first thing, though, that we want to get this, God rules, and I'm thankful. The second thing is, He through His rule, will share these powers with whoever He wills down here on earth. That's the first two. And the third and final thing is, the rest of this verse, He rules in the kingdom of men, He gives it to whomsoever He will, and He sets up over it the basest of men. Now, there's a lot of complaining going on about our government. And that's not a new thing, right? A lot of complaining about our leaders, our elected officials that we have, that God has put in power. And we can look back and we can see, if I were to name in our past 20, 30, 40 years of presidential leadership in our country, we can think of many. We can think of Bill Clinton. Immediately we think of failures, or we think of maybe some of the other things he's done. Or maybe we think more recently, we think about Obama or Trump or Biden. And we think of and we know what their failures are. We're quick to always remember that, right? We're quick to think of their failures, and we see how God will set up over it with this power. God will use the basest of men. Basest even meaning morally low. Why would God do this? A basest meaning dishonorable. Even in that, God still worked. If God, and He did, can save Nebuchadnezzar, He could save Joe Biden, even today. I may not agree with who my president is or what my president is doing. I may not have voted for my president. But knowing that God is ultimately in control, that God is sovereign, that He is ruling in heaven, and that He has delegated powers down during this time, I don't have to agree with it. And as long as they're not asking me to do something that would defile or be blasphemous toward my God, I'm going to, for the most part, go along with it. As long as it's not blasphemy toward God. I'm not saying I'm going to blindly follow whatever the Republicans or the Democrats tell me to do. But I know that God is still working, even in what looks like the basest, the lowest of times. He's still ruling. And look at the good that ultimately came to Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, he got cut down.
No doubt about it. He was cut down, and you're out eating like a, eating grass like a cow. That's pretty low as a human being. But God restored him.
So I,
without even having to have a political talk, because we're not talking politics or partisanship here today, but I do have to say, no, I don't like the way things are going with my government right now. I don't agree with a lot of the things that we've been doing for decades in our country. But instead of coming and complaining to you about it, and to you about it, and to you about it, and get on my Facebook and complain about my president and how terrible they all are, I'm going to first go to my God with it. Lord, my country is sin sick. Lord, we want abortion like we want a drive-through hamburger in this country. I say we, not all of us, but when Isaiah was talking about his national sins, he wasn't participating in all of them, but still he was owning them as his own to God. So we go to God and we say, Lord, I hate abortion, but we want this in our country. We want
abortion. We're fighting for abortion to be legalized. Lord, we're fighting for marriage totally different than how you have defined marriage in this country, Lord. There's so many things we could park on. We don't have the time today. We're done. But there's so many things that we could complain about and grumble about and lose our peace about. But friends, we don't have to do that. Why? Because God rules. God is ruling and allowing men to do some things. And even in the lowest of times, God's still working. Our job is not to go and complain to everybody about it and be a partisan fool, but to be His people. Before we go telling everybody else about it, let's make sure we've talked to God about it. Amen? Because He rules. And it would be my prayer that America would turn back to God. Oh God, save America. Because we are biting the hand that has fed us for all of these years. Plain and simple. But I love America. I love what it stands for. But America is not my Savior. But it's up to God if He wants to keep this country going. And I pray that He does until He comes for us. And He is going to come for His people. Let's keep watching for Him. Father, wow. Your Word is so filled with help. And it's just wonderful. Maybe someone here today came in all worked up over the things going on, and it's rightfully so. As we ask You to work in America, Lord, we also know that You need to continue to work in Israel, and we know that You are. Because You've promised that You always will. What a wonderful blessing to remember that You are God. We are not. And that evil will be honed down. That evil will be cut down for good. And that we, as Your children by faith, with our sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, we can bring all of our cares to You. Pray and intercede for a country who is sin sick and dying. Pray and intercede, Lord, that You'd give us the leadership we need, not that we deserve. And we're in that time right now. We're getting what we deserve and not what we need. So, Father, it's not within my power. It's not within a few of us in our power to do anything, but Lord, we know that You have the power The king's heart is in your hand, and you can turn it whichever way you wish. We pray for our country today. And yes, we pray for Israel. We pray, Lord, for the desperate time that our world is in, and the war in Ukraine, and the oppression of Russia. We could spend so much time there, Lord. You know about it all. None of this has taken you by surprise. You're not chewing your fingernails, nor should we. But again, thank you for the time and your word, Lord. May we be, I'm encouraged. I pray everyone has been encouraged, Lord, by this reminder, and that we can look at things the way you look at things and give you all the praise when you do what you do. Pray now for the coming morning service, that you get everyone here safely, Lord. And we love you and thank you. The church says, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll start again here in about 25 minutes. Praise the Lord.